It's so easy to look at your list of goals or intentions or how you want to feel and just hope that someday it magically happens. When really it comes down to those daily steps you take to make those feelings a part of your day every single day. Welcome to The Cosmic Calling, a podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs and creative souls on a mission to align their life and career with the cosmos. I'm Natalie Wallstein, career astrologer at Soulshine Astrology, and I hope you're ready to unlock your cosmic calling. We've finally made our way into the first week of 2020 now, and hopefully you've had a chance to write down your dreams and goals and plans for this wondrous new year that is now upon us. They say that when you write down a goal, you're 42% more likely to actually make it happen. So if you haven't done that yet, better get on it. So after you've written down your goals, of course, the question then becomes, how can you keep this new year vibe strong throughout the year? That's exactly what I want to talk about today as I share with you some of my top tips for creating a daily ritual that will carry you and your goals and intentions forward into every day of your life, and how you can bring astrology with you on this journey to creating a daily ritual for success that will work best for you. A couple of episodes ago, I recommended making sure you create a word of the year for 2020, and this is also one of the very first prompts in my 2020 moon journal. Again, the idea is to basically use this word to encompass your number one intention for how you want to feel throughout the next year. And then you can even take this a step further and write about what it means to feel that way, what it looks like to feel that way, and which actions you need to take to feel that way. It's definitely not a new concept, but it certainly is a powerful one. So my word of the year for 2020 is, drumroll please, radiant. I was going back and forth quite a bit on this, and I seriously thought I had settled on the word vibrant. But really feeling into both of these words, I came to the conclusion that vibrant, while it is a great word, makes me think of just being really healthy and in good spirits. While radiant, to me, feels like I'm radiating good vibes out into the world because I already contain so many for myself. Like this cup that's just spilling over and positively affecting everyone else because I've taken such good care of myself. That's how I want to feel this year. So that's beautiful and wonderful and all, but how will I make sure I feel this way? By setting myself up to feel radiant at the start of every day before I do anything else, right? This is where the idea of a ritual comes in. A ritual is essentially a sacred routine that you decide to follow every day, or at least try to follow every day. None of us are perfect, that's for sure. Where you're taking time for yourself to do what really matters to you. To do what will make a huge difference for you on how the rest of your entire day goes. When you're creating a daily ritual for yourself, the very first step, and really the key, is to prioritize what really matters to you to do in your life to bring you the most joy and fulfillment. And then make sure you're doing all of those things in your ritual before you do any other work or get sucked into your email or DMs or whatever else might threaten to distract you from what really matters, so that you don't get to the end of every day and feel frustrated that you never quite got around to doing the things that would allow you to feel how you want to feel or to make the difference you really want to make. The reason why this is so important is because it's so easy to look at your list of goals or intentions or how you want to feel and just hope that someday it magically happens. When really it comes down to those daily steps you take to make those feelings a part of your day every single day. I've actually harnessed my step-by-step loving Capricorn side and created a handy little workbook for you guys to fill out as you listen to this episode or after you listen to this episode so you can create your own sacred daily ritual for success. So if you are a stellar supporter of this show, you will already have this in our member portal on Patreon. But if you aren't a stellar supporter yet, you're definitely going to want to go and sign up at patreon.com/thecosmiccalling so you can get the workbook and answer the questions I'll be posing for you throughout this episode. That way it's not just a concept or a fun idea, but it's one that you actually put into practice. So one of the questions on there is, what are your top 5 priorities in life that bring you joy? I know this is a really big question, but it's important to get really quiet and go within and really ask the highest, brightest, boldest version of yourself what the answer is to this question, and to take as long as you need to settle on the right order. For me, I've come to realize that my number one priority is to make sure I'm in alignment with my soul, that I feel connected to my inner guidance. Because I know that when I'm not, I make mistakes, I don't feel as inspired, I don't feel as radiant, I beat up on myself for really stupid things, and I take longer to fulfill the mission I'm here to do in this world, because that comes from tuning in. Whereas when I'm feeling connected to my inner guidance, I feel like I'm on track and I'm on the right path and I'm supported in doing what I'm meant to be doing. I get the exact messages and divine downloads I need to do my soul's work in a way that feels really good too. So that's my number one. Number two is a pretty obvious one, and it's my health. Health is wealth, as they say. Pretty self-explanatory, but often something that can get pushed to the back burner when you get really busy, right? My number three is that I really want to feel like I'm making a difference in other people's lives with my creativity and the guidance I pass on to others, whether they're strangers on the internet, clients of mine, or my friends and family. That's why I wake up and go to work each day. AKA go into my living room where my desk is each day, is to make a difference in your lives. I want to inspire and empower you to do what you were born to do. And everything I create, from this podcast to my ebook and the Moon Journal, my course, my business mastermind, it's all to make a difference. But without this priority, it's been really easy for me to slip into busy work mode, where I'm not really driving anything forward on a day-by-day basis, but just keeping up with the ongoing maintenance, like emails and DMs, that running a business tends to require. Number four for me on my list of priorities is learning. As a Sagittarius rising, I always want to be learning, or I get super bored and stagnant. And since I want to be the best possible teacher I can be, I want to continue learning everything I can. Learning can come from reading books or taking courses or watching interesting movies or traveling to new places. As long as I'm constantly expanding my mind in some way every day, I'm a pretty happy girl. And number five is experiencing nature. That's why I moved to this beautiful island where there are rainbows every day and palm trees and the ocean and mountains and flowers. It fills up my heart so much. Now, at this point in my life, I am currently single and I don't have any kids yet, which I would imagine your partner or your kids might factor quite high on your list if you have those things in your life or those people. So the point here is to make a list that feels good to you. And maybe some of my examples will jog your memory a bit as you come up with your own. But maybe your list is totally different from mine. After you have this list and you've thought really good and hard about the order you've put things in, you can then ask yourself, what is one small step or action you can take every day for each item on your list that will allow you to make sure you're engaging with these priorities in a way that will easily fit into every single day? Let me paint a picture for you of how I've translated my list of priorities into daily action. But first, let's go through a super quick scenario where I don't do these priorities just for fun. So let's say I've woken up on the wrong side of the bed, I'm feeling stressed, I start thinking about everything I have to do right away, and I've totally forgotten about what really matters to me. If you've got the workbook in front of you, you can write in yours what usually happens when you don't do any rituals or you don't start your day with mindfulness. I'd probably roll over and grab my phone and get lost on social media for a while until something triggers me, like an email that I read where there's something I need to take care of, and I'll just jump straight onto my laptop and end up working on busy work for a few hours until I realize that it's past noon and I haven't eaten or showered. Womp womp. Once I get through that stuff, I feel tired and lazy, so maybe I pop on a TV show and then somehow forget to get back to work. And suddenly I get hungry again and it's dinner time. Eventually, in this scenario, I get to the end of the day wondering, what did I even accomplish today? With zero of my priorities having been taken into account, I feel blah and really annoyed with myself. So now let's compare that to the other version, where I do take my top five list of priorities and weave them into my morning first thing. When I wake up in the morning and my eyes open up, I try to come up with a few things I'm grateful for. Even if I didn't sleep well and I'm kind of groggy and I don't really want to get up, I look out my window where I can see a beautiful palm tree blowing in the wind, and I remind myself how lucky I am, which makes me think of other things I'm grateful for and other reasons why I feel lucky. I'm not gonna lie, it's been a really long time coming for me to be able to not turn to my phone first thing in the morning. And the way that I finally shifted out of that is by reminding myself that I will be so much happier if I don't, and also that those same exact messages will still be there when I'm done with my morning ritual. Then I go into the kitchen and either make some coffee or maybe a matcha tea latte. But before I allow myself to drink it, because health is one of my priorities, I drink some apple cider vinegar with a lemon and a little glass of water so that the first thing I'm putting into my body is something that's good for me. Now, I've discovered that I can't seem to just like jump right into a mindfulness practice right when I get up, even with coffee. So instead, I crack open a book or I turn on the Kindle app on my iPad and I'll read for a good 20 minutes or so, so that I can make sure I get some learning in while I get acclimated to being awake. Once I've gotten a bit more caffeinated and I'm feeling a little more settled into my morning, I'll burn some sage or Palo Santo, light a candle, and set the Insight Timer app on my phone to do a 20-minute meditation. Everyone has their own ways of doing meditations. For me, I like to spend the first 10 minutes of my meditation sitting with my palms faced downward as I calm my energy and let my thoughts go and just try to empty my mind as much as possible. I have the Insight Timer app set up so that a little gong will go off halfway through when I get to the 10-minute mark. And when it does, I like to turn my palms to face upward as if I'm in receiving mode. And then I'll ask my higher self and my spirit guides what I need to know for the day. I usually get some interesting messages that come through, but I'm not always sure if I'm right about them. So when the 20 minutes is up, I end this part of my ritual by picking a card. And wouldn't you know it, the oracle card or tarot card I end up picking confirms exactly what I just downloaded in my meditation. From there, I get up and take a shower and then go for a quick walk in the garden outside of my apartment to take in nature, maybe swing on the swing set for a few minutes or look at the fish in the pond. To be honest, one of my biggest goals for this year is to get a dog so that I can take them with me on these morning walks. So hopefully that will be my first checked off goal for 2020. I'm super excited. After the walk, I come home, eat some breakfast, including lots of fruit because I always get good energy boost from that. And with my emails still completely unchecked and my phone still ignored, I'll launch into an hour and a half of time spent on my most important task for the day, the one that will make the biggest difference. I used to only spend an hour on this task, but I found I was always wanting to do more, so I've bumped it up to an hour and a half. At this point in my life, that means working on my book. But some days I might work on an offering I'm getting ready to launch. Just depends on the timing. During this power hour, as I like to call it, or power hour and a half in this case, I not only think about which task will make the biggest difference for others, but also for me and what I feel I'd like to accomplish during my time on Earth. I think way too many of us think about how nice it would be to accomplish our goals in the future. But having gone through a near-death experience a few years ago where I honestly thought my clock was going to run out, I no longer think that way. And I really don't think it should have to come to that for any of us to realize how precious our life is and how important it is that we do what we want to do and what we came here to do and what we know we would be upset at ourselves if we never did today. Even after working on my most important task for an hour and a half, it's still before noon when I finished, and I've already accomplished all five things on my list of top priorities that bring me joy. From there, I can go into my normal to-do list by checking email, checking my phone, and getting on with anything else I need to do that day. See what a huge difference that makes compared to the other scenario? And how interesting is it that this scenario took a lot longer to explain, but I actually finished it much earlier in the day? Now, I'm sure this idea isn't completely revolutionary to you. I know you're all go-getting forces of nature in your own right, and perhaps you already have your own sacred daily rituals that you already do. But the new year is as good a time as any to make sure that your rituals are truly setting you up for the highest possible form of success. And I think we could all use a reminder from time to time to take a good, hard look at how we're setting up our day to make sure it's leading us towards success. And when I say success here, what I really mean is true fulfillment, soul alignment, happiness, joy. This process can take a lot of tweaking, and it can take a while to get into your flow with it. But every single day that you try, you're going to be able to learn more about what order or which action steps work for you best and what doesn't. So you may be wondering at this point, where does astrology come into this? Good question. I am getting to that. For one, I also happen to have a nightly ritual because I've learned that in order to wake up at a decent time to be able to have this magical morning ritual, I also have to have a ritual before I go to bed each night that gets me ready to venture into dreamland without too many thoughts going on in my mind so I can get a good night of sleep. My nightly ritual is not quite as interesting, but it mainly involves cleaning up and doing the dishes, taking out the garbage because I like waking up to a clean home in the morning. Then I'll wash my face, maybe water some plants, brush my teeth, and retreat into my bedroom where I do a little more soul work before I go to bed. That is when I will turn on my oil diffuser, maybe light a candle, turn on some twinkly lights, and journal about my day and how I'm feeling so that I can get it all out on paper so it's not in my head swirling around. And in my journal, at the top of the page, I like to draw a little picture of the moon phase and the symbol for which zodiac sign the moon is in. People often ask me how they can use astrology in their ongoing daily lives. And I think other than knowing your astrology chart and choosing to live by it as much as possible, the next best way to work with astrology in your daily life is through reflection. Reflection on how you felt when certain energies were occurring. So you can try this too if you'd like. If you have my monthly moon calendar, which you can get totally for free by going to soulshineastrology.com and entering your email address on the homepage there, you'll know which zodiac sign and which phase the moon is in every day. And then you can mark this down in your journal and ask yourself how you've been feeling that day. By the way, there is a moon magic guidebook that comes with the calendar too, so you'll know exactly what each zodiac sign means. After doing this for a while, you may start to notice over time that there's a pattern, especially with the phase of the moon, but eventually also with the sign the moon is in. This is not only a good way to learn astrology, because astrology is the study of energy, and energy is something you really have to be able to feel to fully understand or even just to conceptualize what it's all about. But this is also a really good way to get to know yourself better. And journaling just has that amazing effect built in anyway, doesn't it? When we don't take time to assess how we're feeling and whether or not we feel on track with what we need to do to be the best version of ourselves, it's easy to fall into a slump. Journaling every night, even when I don't particularly feel like it, is my way of keeping myself accountable for ensuring that I'm staying in touch with myself and that I'm doing what I need to do for myself. And if I'm not, I know it's a priority to do it the next day, and I don't have to go to sleep bugging myself about it. This is a really good time to point out that you may not be able to follow through with your ritual every single day, especially if there's a lot of things on your list or a lot of people in your life vying for your attention, or if you go on holiday or you get sick or you simply forget that you even have a ritual to begin with. That definitely happens to me sometimes. And that's exactly what the priority list is for. So even if you only have time to do one thing, make it something that will contribute to the number one thing on your priority list. If you have time for two things, do numbers one and two. Or if you notice that you've been sort of doing your own thing for a while and not using a ritual and you're feeling really out of balance, coming back into alignment with your ritual as a re-up or a reset can be your way of coming back home to yourself when you really need it. That being said, when you can follow through with your daily ritual more often than not, you will see your life's work moving forward much more quickly. You'll reach your goals much more quickly, and you'll have the opportunity to experience more joy because you're doing things that contribute to the top five priorities that bring you the most joy. When you feel more joyful, that joy spreads. When I feel more radiant, I know that feeling will radiate out to others. I realize this is all quite a Capricornian concept, this idea of systemizing your joy. And it might seem really daunting, especially if you don't have a lot of earth element in your chart. But please remember that each of your five things can be super quick and small. I live alone and I work for myself from home, so I have a lot of free space to do whatever I want to do. But I realize not everyone's life is set up that way. And my life might not be set up this way forever. In fact, I hope it isn't, even though I really enjoy my time alone for now. So you don't have to meditate for 20 minutes or devote an entire hour and a half to your most important task each day like I do. The idea is to create a ritual that is doable enough for you that you'll have a real chance at being able to be consistent with. And I'll be honest, I really struggled with this for a long time before I realized that my sixth house of daily routines is in Gemini. I used to buy smoky quartz crystals and write mantras and put them in my bathroom and have little alarms and alerts on my phone, all to convince myself to do my morning ritual, until I realized that none of this stuff matters because my main enemy to following through with my ritual consistently was my own mind. If you have your birth chart handy, I highly recommend taking a look to see which zodiac sign rules over your sixth house on your chart, because this actually colors the way you like to channel your energy into the upkeep and maintenance of your daily life. Some of you might have more than one zodiac sign in your sixth house. That's actually pretty common, so they would both apply for you. But if one of them is bigger than the other, that would be your more dominant sign. If your sixth house is in Aries, for example, you'd want every day to be fresh and new, and you probably wouldn't want to stick to the same ritual every day. So maybe you'd prefer to give yourself a different challenge every week, where at the start of the week, you say that you're going to drink as much water as you can that week, because one of your priorities might be to be mindful, and drinking a lot of water can help you clear your mind. And then the week after that, you might pick a different challenge based on another one of your priorities or another facet of your number one priority, because Aries loves a good competition, and a challenge is a really good way to keep yourself in the game of constantly trying to better your everyday life. If your sixth house is in Taurus, you might be pretty good at having a routine, as long as you make the process really enjoyable and beautiful. Maybe you spritz yourself with some Florida water or an aura spray before you sit down to meditate. Or you make your morning beverage making process into a ritual in itself, and then take it with you on a morning walk every day. Taurus is all about pleasing the senses. If your sixth house is in Gemini, like me, you crave variety. That's why I don't make myself sit and read the same book every day. I don't even light the same candle every day or choose a card from the same deck every day. I really need to be able to switch things up, and that's how I'm able to stay consistent with my ritual, because I don't let it be exactly the same every single day, or I'd get bored and I'd want to rebel. This would also be really good advice if your sixth house is in Sagittarius, because both Gemini and Sagittarius like to stay mentally stimulated. And often our mind is our biggest obstacle to following through with things. So I find I'm constantly talking to myself in my head in the morning while I'm doing my ritual, saying, "You don't need to do that right now. This is more important." Or, "That message can wait. Come back to it in a little bit." And that's how I keep myself on track with what I really need to be doing, because there's so many distractions that come up in my mind otherwise. And a crystal or a mantra probably isn't going to do the trick as well as me guiding my thoughts in the right direction. If your sixth house is in Cancer, you might like to get your family involved in your ritual, as you all make breakfast together, talk about your day. Or you might like to journal early in the day to get your worries out of your head in the morning, or have a nice sacred bath you meditate in instead of sitting in the boring lotus position, since Cancer is a water sign. If your sixth house is in Leo, you might like to start your day by listening to some amped up music to clear your head while you go for a run or an intense workout. Or you might like to start your day by doing something creative or cooking a creative meal. If your sixth house is in Virgo, you'd probably do very well with the tips I've mentioned earlier, since Virgo is the sign of rituals and routines. You might even like to time yourself or block your rituals out in your calendar so nothing can come between you and your me time. If your sixth house is in Libra, you might like to have a morning ritual accountability partner or a friend you can text in the morning to share your intention for the day with. You'd probably really enjoy also making your ritual full of beauty and good smells, since Libra is ruled by Venus. If your sixth house is in Scorpio, you have a real challenge because you might constantly be coming up with new rituals and then casting them off once you've outgrown them, because Scorpio craves change and constant evolution. So that would just be something that you'd have to accept. If your sixth house is in Sagittarius, like I mentioned earlier, you want to feel like each day is a new adventure where you have the freedom to explore something new. So, like for me, how I choose a different book or a different course I want to learn from in the morning as I'm just waking up. If your sixth house is in Capricorn, well, this whole episode is already made for you, because it's all about the systems for you and coming up with the perfectly crafted schedule. If your sixth house is in Aquarius, you probably want to come up with your own wacky ritual. Maybe your ritual involves waking up at 5 a.m. and chanting mantras before you go back to sleep for a couple more hours, or doing Reiki or Qigong. The point is, Aquarians don't like to do things the same way as everyone else, so you'll have to come up with what works best for you. And finally, if your sixth house is in Pisces, you like to feel like your day is one big daydream. So you would definitely be someone who should keep a dream journal and start your day off by interpreting what you've been up to all night before slinking into a cozy shower. People with their sixth house in Pisces need to feel inspired to do their ritual. Yet, it can be just as easy to get stuck in stagnation if you don't force yourself to do at least something small. Sometimes all it takes is starting something small and easy to get you in the mood to do the rest of your things on your priority list. And that really goes for everyone. So I hope this episode has helped you spark some ideas on how you can create your very own sacred ritual for success. This is something that has absolutely made the biggest possible difference in my life. Our days can go by so quickly if we let them, but having a ritual of your very own that encompasses all of the things that matter to you most will help you make the most of every day in the most mindful way possible. Remember, all of this Capricorn energy in 2020 is not about preparing for a sprint to the top of the mountain of success. It's more like a ladder, with each day bringing another rung that takes us up another level toward our greater potential. If you'd like to download the workbook for this episode to go through all of the steps I've mentioned to creating your own sacred daily ritual for success, you can become a stellar supporter by going to patreon.com/thecosmiccalling. I'm also super excited to announce that enrollment has officially opened for my 2020 Cosmic Boss Mastermind. The program doesn't actually start until March, so I'm going to be talking about this quite a bit in coming episodes, but I just wanted to let the early birds among us know that if you are a budding business owner looking for some support this year and you want to set up your business for success using the magic of the cosmos combined with down-to-earth, cutting-edge marketing strategies, you can go and check out what the program is all about and apply for your spot now at soulshineastrology.com/mastermind. For complete episode show notes and all of the links mentioned throughout this episode, visit soulshineastrology.com/episode-72. For more information on astrology reports, resources, and classes to help you unlock your cosmic calling, and to sign up to receive my weekly and monthly forecasts, check out soulshineastrology.com. You can also follow along elsewhere by searching for Soulshine Astrology on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review for The Cosmic Calling on iTunes. And if you screenshot your review and email it to info@soulshineastrology.com, you'll receive a code to get 10% off a Cosmic Career Blueprint or a custom yearly forecast. In our next episode, I'm chatting with Willow Rising about how we can harness the power of our human design type for more balance and flow in our lives and work.